The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wynn. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. How about you, Terry?
I'm good. Morning, hey. Hat Man. How are you?
Good morning.
And Frankie. Good. Frankie's keeping watch out there.
Yeah, Frankie's always keeping watch. Frank Rose.
Thank
one
you,
of
Frank.
Our treasures. And a special friend, a very special friend of all of us, a special friend of Liberty, Janet Chandler. How are you doing, Janet?
I am doing so well. I'm so excited about what we're going to talk about.
We are broadcasting live from KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5, first day of my new tongue, FM, where the music does sound better. If you have a question or comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And we really want to get into this right away today. We have Janet here, and she's an amazing friend. She has been with us for years and years and years and years. And has always been not only a proponent for liberty, but one of the main voices of the state of Jefferson and for liberty.
And a voice of reason.
A voice of reason. Janet, my dear, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am very, very old, so that means I have a lot of years to put experience together. I spent a career in education. I was a social science major in college, but I also got a lot of English. So I was an English and social science and drama teacher for 20-plus years. And after I retired, I really got interested in putting that social science information to work. So I joined the Tea Party movement, and that morphed into the State of Jefferson movement and became the Patriot movement. And as the state of Jefferson, I got involved in helping to write the Constitution. There was a group of us that met 3 hours every Saturday online, and for over a year's period of time, we put together what is now the state of Jefferson Constitution. Final rough draft is what we call it. There are always room for improvement, and that's where it is now until it gets into its final stage and we can actually use it. So here I am promoting the state of Jefferson, promoting liberty, and promoting every cause that will lead us to be a constitutional republic.
Hmm. You've got some work ahead of you.
Yeah, sometimes it seems hopeless.
Well, so what did you do to get to this point as far as working with the Constitution?
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Well, how did it come about?
Oh, well, as I said, we got together, a group of us who signed up to work on the Constitution for the state of Jefferson, and we looked at other constitutions, the state of Idaho, some California, not completely following that one, and just started writing what we wanted our state to be when it becomes the state of Jefferson. And we looked at the mistakes that had been made not only federally but also in other states and tried to correct those.
So, okay, so you cherry-picked the best components of the constitutions that you have before you.
That's right.
And then where that didn't all fit the bill, you also added in things that would kind of seal the deal.
Yes, we did. And believe me, when you're working with a group of people, they don't all agree. And we had some shouting matches. I'm sure it was just like the founding fathers in the city of Philadelphia in 1787. But we did come up with what we hope is not just a compromise, but the best of the best.
Now, so when you got together doing that, were you like on the phone, or did you guys meet in the same room? How did that work? So, I mean, that you're, when you're working together with people, it's different.
when you look at the state of Jefferson, the counties, they're spread out.
Right.
And it from one end of the count of a state to the other would be a 5 or 6 hour drive, depending on where you live. Excuse me. We started out meeting in person, and that just became a burden. So we went online, like Zoom, only it was very early iteration of that service then. Mm-hmm. And we'd have the Constitution on our screen so we could see what we were working on at the time, and then we connected, in our case, by telephone. So we were talking on the phone and watching on the screen for 3 hours every Saturday. It worked.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yep.
Well, Janet, we've got about 5 minutes to the break. We want you to take us into maybe the first segment, the first few things you want to talk about.
Okay, today is Everything Constitution. We started out with the Federal Constitution of 1787. California also has its constitution, which went into effect in 1850 when we became a state, but it has been amended and altered and updated many times since then. Anytime I look at the California Constitution, I'm not sure if I'm looking at the actual latest version of it. And then we have the State of Jefferson Constitution. So this morning, we're going to be looking at all three, comparing them, looking at where they started. So let's look at the very basic beginning of the Constitution for the federal government, and it actually has its origins in the Declaration of Independence. And there are some important phrases that need to be picked out from the Declaration. First of all, it tells us that we have inalienable rights, and those rights are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, which they actually meant to mean property, and they say property later on. So what does unalienable really mean? It means that cannot be transferred. You cannot give those rights away to anybody else. They're not yours to give because they are given to you by your Creator. He delegated those rights to you, and you don't have the right to transfer them. Why do we have government? That's in the Declaration. We have government to secure those rights that God gave us. And what does secure mean? It means to guard from danger, to ensure, to make safe, to protect. Then we have in the Declaration that government derives its powers from the consent of the governed. You know that we just always said, yeah, the consent of the governed. But what are we really talking about? Did you give consent? Who gave consent? What does consent mean? Well, that means that our Constitution is a compact, which means it's a contract among the various states. And at that time, it was 13 states. Oh, have you ever consented to a contract? Has your kid ever brought home one of those consent forms to go on a field trip? And on that consent form, it says, well, they're going to go to a specific place, and it's going to be on a specific day and for a specific number of hours. And if your kid gets hurt, then you are giving them permission to make sure that your kid gets medical care. You are consenting. You are delegating certain powers to the school on that consent form. Now, you're not giving your kid away. And you're not just giving them carte blanche to do anything they want with your kid. You have delegated certain powers to the school. That's what the Constitution does. It delegates to a central government certain powers, but those powers are limited. They are enumerated. They are not just vast powers for anything they want to do. So the federal government is limited by the Constitution. It is not the people who are limited, it's the central government. So what does delegated really mean? It means to deliver to another's care and exercise. It does not mean that you are ceding those powers, it means it is limited. Now, with any contract, we've got the terms of the contract, and then there has to be a time limit. So what is the time limit on the delegated powers that we have given the federal government? Quiz time, folks. When do those powers end?
Never.
Oh, but any contract has to have a limitation of powers. It has to tell when they end. It's in the Declaration of Independence. It tells you that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government. So there it is. Our perfect contract says, that's it. When you don't abide by the contract anymore, it's abrogated. We don't follow it.
Well, with that, that was incredible stuff, darling. With that, we're going to go off to our first break. We just got a, you got a hand back there from Travis clapping. Anyway, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
No more lockdown. No more government overreach. No more fascist bullies disturbing our peace. No more taking of our freedom and our God-given rights. Pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave. Who's running our country?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Good song, Sally. Way to go, darling. Well, we're back here on KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, at 1460 AM. Again, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Just want to say a couple of quick things. If you folks want to get Jefferson gear, Second Amendment gear, you can go on over to Ace Hardware on Eureka Way, Ace Hardware on Shasta Dam Boulevard. You can go to Ace Hardware on Marks Way in Anderson, Wendy Lou's Mini Mart in Cottonwood, Clear Creek Market, just to name a few, and Clear Creek Market's on 273. Gear up. Show people what you believe. Second Amendment needs to be protected. Constitution needs to be protected. And with that, we have a caller. Brian, how are you, sir? What say you?
Hi, good morning, Terry. Just a big fan of the show. I've been listening a long time. I go up to Wairika, Montague a lot to visit family up there. So I'm very familiar with the State of Jefferson movement and, a big fan of you guys. So this morning I just wanted to talk about the mask and the vaccines. And
Well, Brian, we have a guest on that's talking about the Constitution. And it's okay. Sort of it's the subject we're going on, and the masks and the vaccine. I'm sure we're with you, brother. But, you know, you can call back, too. It's on the same number during Sovereign Minds, which is the next program on. at 10 o'clock, and that's going to be right probably.
I can talk about something else.
Well, the thing is, we have a guest on that we brought in.
Okay.
So what we want to do, if you have something that when she's talking about the Constitution, if you want to call in and hear that, but she's prepared a lot, so we're going to just show her that courtesy. And we love you, brother, but we want to show her that courtesy and let her bring the information to the folks that we promised them.
Okay. Did you want me to comment or call in another time?
Just feel free, my good friend, to call in, you know, any time. But like I said, the next program at 10 o'clock, sort of feather into one another. So, you know, after 10, call into their program. I'm sure they'd love to hear what you have to say about the masks and all that. I'm sure they would.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, brother. Have a great day.
Bye.
So, Janet, let's get back to your subject.
Okay. Let's look at the powers that are revolving around the various constitutions. First of all, there are delegated powers, and they actually come from the Declaration of Independence. It's what states, nations, countries, it's all the same thing. Those are synonyms. They are all allowed to do. They can levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, and establish commerce. It's all of those things that interface with foreign governments that are outside the countries. Then there are enumerated delegated powers, and those are found in Article 1, Section 8. That is a list of the things that Congress can and should do. Then there are prohibited government powers. There are things they cannot do, and it specifically says in the Constitution, and that's Article 1, Section 9. So I'm not going to list all of these for you because I'm assuming that you can go read them yourself. There are also prohibited state powers. The states can't do everything. And remember, when I am talking about states, I am talking about individual nations because that's what they are. And that's in Article 1, Section 10. Did you know that the president has mandated powers, things that the president is supposed to do, duties that he is supposed to perform for his country? And that's in Article 2, Sections 2 and 3. And then we have the delegation of powers between the states and the federal government in the 10th Amendment. Now, remember, the first 10 amendments tell the government what it cannot do. Those are all prohibitions. We are not given the right to free speech by the Constitution. The government is prohibited from denying us our God-given right to free speech, religion, assembly, press, petition. Those are our rights, and the 10 amendments say the government cannot take those away. Okay, now I have to give you a disclaimer. I am not a constitutional attorney or expert. I just play one on the radio. But the Constitution was not written for experts and attorneys. It was written for the people. It was written so they could understand it. And anybody who can read and has any kind of analytic ability at all can read the Constitution and figure out what it says. Contrary to what some people think, we do not need the Supreme Court to interpret it for us and give us an opinion that will rule our lives. I can read the Constitution. I know that there's no place in the Constitution that says I have to buy Obamacare or broccoli, whichever comes first. So, if it is not able to be understood by the people, then it is irrelevant and should be ignored. But luckily, our Constitution is able to be read by the people and understood just fine. So let's look at some of this stuff that's in the Constitution. Today, I'm going to be comparing primarily the California Constitution with the state of Jefferson Constitution. See why we did what we did and how we were trying to get away from what California was doing, where we think it has gone wrong. First of all, let's look at some similarities. Both constitutions, California and Jefferson, in the preamble, give credit to Almighty God. Now, I'm sure that Gavin Newsom would be shocked by that, because he certainly doesn't behave as if Almighty God gets the credit, not Almighty Gavin. The second, both California and Jefferson have a Declaration of Rights, and they're very similar to the Bill of Rights in the federal Constitution, except they're more complete. They have more detail. They have more rights actually listed. Both constitutions declare that people are by nature free, and they have inalienable rights. Now, notice that we are by nature free. That means the very fact that we have been born makes us free. There is a difference, however. The state of Jefferson Constitution includes in those freely born people the rights of the unborn from the moment of conception. So we recognize that life does not begin at the moment of birth. It begins at the moment of conception. Both of the constitutions include the right to enjoy and defend life and liberty. They also are quite specific on property. They both include the right to acquire, possess, and protect property. Now, you wouldn't think so from the way California tries to regulate your property, from the way California tries to tax you on your property, and we will get to that in a little while. If there is a right to property, that means you should not have to ask permission from the state to use your property. Why do you have to get a building permit? And I know last hour Nick was talking about building permits and how expensive and burdensome they have become. Why do you need to get permission to do anything from the state if you want to practice your right to life and liberty? Why do you need to get a license from the state to claim a right? So as we're going through some of these items, think about that. Why do you need to get permission from the state to do what you have the God-given right to do? So let's start out with one that is important right now, and that's the sheriff. What does the California Constitution say about the sheriff? Well, it may surprise you to find out that Article 5, Section 13 of the California Constitution actually states in black and white English that the Attorney General shall have direct supervision over every sheriff and law enforcement officers. Now, please tell me, as a constitutional sheriff, how that is defined, direct supervision. What exactly does that mean? Now, interestingly, I had the opportunity to ask that very question of our Sheriff McGreeny in Shasta County. And he had just declared that he was a constitutional sheriff because he gave a lot of concealed CCW. Carry permits. Oh, wait a minute. There's that permit word. You are giving me permission to bear arms, a right that is given to me by God? Sheriff McGreeny is not God. So if he's truly constitutional, he would just, instead of handing you a CCW permit, he'd hand you a copy of the Constitution and say, look up the Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights, and look up number two. When I asked him specifically about the direct supervision clause, he did stammer and stutter around and finally came up and said, well, I don't subscribe to that. Well, I don't know what that means. You don't subscribe to it. It's in the Constitution. What does it mean? So I would love to hear from Sheriff McGreeny on just exactly what the definition of direct supervision is.
You know, Janet, before you go any further on that, we're going to keep going.
Oh.
Okay. We're not going to stop, but I want the minute we have for a break here, since we do pay for this program. I want the minute or two to hear what you have to say.
Okay. Well, so, I will finish with the sheriff.
I want to run something by you.
Okay.
Okay. As you were saying, you were talking about the permits, and you were talking about, we even have a 26-150B2, which is an open carry permit. According to the penal code, you can have that issued to you if you live in a county of under 200,000. And he does not issue that. He will not issue that. He's never issued that. And I want you kind of to expound a little bit more on this constitutional sheriff thing, because in theory it sounds good, but how is that even possible in the state of California?
A constitutional sheriff, and Sheriff Richard Mack has said this perfectly. If you are a constitutional sheriff, you recognize that it is your duty to protect the rights of the people, to stand up for them, to interpose on their behalf. And that is done by protecting them against the incursions of agents who come from the state or the federal government and not allowing them to step on the rights of the people that he is protecting. But there's a third step. A constitutional sheriff not only protects the people, protects them from other agents, but he also has to be willing to arrest any agents if they persist in challenging the rights of the people. That's a constitutional sheriff. A constitutional sheriff also looks at the Constitution and says, oh, the Second Amendment says the rights of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, my golly, let's look at what infringed actually means, because if we're going to talk about these things, we need to actually know the definitions of these things. And to infringe means to break as a contract, to violate by either not performing as you should or by performing in a way that is against what you should be doing. It means to violate, to transgress, to neglect, to fulfill or obey, to destroy or hinder. You cannot infringe on the right to keep and bear arms. A constitutional sheriff should know that.
Can I ask you a question then? And I don't know whether this is an opinion question or a fact question, but since the sheriff is unwilling to give anyone or to acknowledge anyone's right to the Second Amendment, right to bear arms, is he violating the Constitution? Is he in violation by saying, well, you've got to get permission from me? If I give you permission, you now have a right. If I do not give you permission, you do not have a right. And, oh, by the way, I can take this right away from you anytime that you want. What say you?
That's an indication of how far our society, our government has come from the Constitution. The Supreme Court has come in and they've said, well, we have the right to reasonable regulation. And I'm sorry, I have looked through my Constitution many times. I cannot find reasonable regulation anywhere in it. Yes, if you are a convicted felon, you have given up many civil rights. And we know that, and we abide by that. You cannot vote. You cannot wander around in public if you have been imprisoned. You cannot have a gun because you are a danger to society. But we're not talking about convicted felons. We're talking about you and me. And the Constitution says our right shall not be infringed. The Supreme Court, remember, any court issues opinions. We have a separation of powers in our country. That means the Supreme Court cannot do the job of the executive, and it cannot do the job of the legislature. Therefore, they cannot pass laws. Any opinion that the Supreme Court or any appellate court comes up with is an opinion only. It is not the force of law, and it cannot be enforced. I think it was Andrew Jackson who told the Supreme Court, well, that's a nice opinion, but which army are you going to send to enforce it? Because obviously the executive has the enforcement branch. So we need to know what's in our Constitution and try to get things back on track. It's going to be awfully hard to convince the Supreme Court that they're not God either.
Yeah, I just find it amazing that our local sheriff can make these comments. He did make the comment when somebody asked him about a 26-150B2 permit, and of course they don't give those out. And a gentleman called in and asked about, well, you know, how can you infringe on these rights? And he said, well, you know, I can't just let everybody carry a gun. I mean, we can't just let felons carry a gun. I mean, what a BS answer. What an absolute BS answer.
See, there's the problem right there. He can't let. It's not his job to allow anything. It's his job to abide by the Constitution.
And one last thing on the sheriffs, and that is, if you know the sheriff, he needs to go back and listen to this archive, because we've about had it with this stuff. And he needs to go back, listen to this archive. You folks know how to get there. If the sheriff isn't listening now, then you probably ought. So if you know him, you need to call him. And you need to be listening to this program, because really and truly, I think we're all tired of the posers, the people that say they're for the Constitution, the public servants that say they're public servants. They're not public servants. How can you be a public servant and restrict people from their and keep them from the rights they have from God protected by the Constitution? So, my dear?
In 2 years, we will be electing a new sheriff. Not re-electing, electing. We do not have a sheriff now who has been elected previously, so it will be his first election. At the last election for sheriff, we had a candidate who came to a town hall And I hammered him pretty hard about the Constitution. He has taken an oath to uphold it, and I wanted to know if he knew what he'd taken an oath to uphold. And he didn't. He failed. He could not answer the questions adequately on the Constitution. However, the next time he came back, he very proudly held up his copy of the Constitution and said, "See, I got a copy, and I have read it now." That's what we're looking for. We don't want to be mean and nasty to our elected officials. We just want to make sure they know their jobs and that they are doing what they are supposed to do, and that's protect our rights that are given to us by God and enumerated in the Constitution. Now, looking at the State of Jefferson Constitution, Article 9, Section 10, and I quote, "Elected by the people, they are not an agent of the executive branch. They are the highest constitutional officer in the county, and they are not subject to the control of state, city, or county officials. They can truly be constitutional sheriffs. They are not under the direct supervision of the Attorney General, who, heaven help us, used to be Javier Becerra." And that should be enough to scare you.
It does.
So with that, I think we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll come right back with Janet. So, Travis, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Stand and deliver. You let them put the fear on you. Stand and deliver. Not a word you heard was true. But if there's nothing you can say, there may be nothing you can do.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Posada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Zip on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up.
We are.
Get up, stand up.
Standing up for your rights in a female body is Janet Chandler.
Definitely, for sure, yes. Let's look at one comparison between California and Jefferson. In Shasta County and many parts of the North State, this is an important one. Hunting and fishing. Now, you may not know this, But the California Constitution, in Article 1, Section 25, makes a big deal about the fact that the people in California shall have the right to fish upon and from the public lands of the state and in the waters thereof. Well, again, we're looking at this word right. So let's look at the definition of right. And it is a just claim, legal title, ownership and possession of property, interest, immunity, privilege, liberty, authority, legal power. That's a right. When was the last time you went fishing? Maybe Hat Creek up in the Intermountain area on the Sacramento River. Could you just hop in your car and go down and fish, or did you have to get a fishing license? Well, where does license come into a right? You own that right. How can the state require you to get permission? And they even make a big deal about the fact that if the state sells property to a private individual or company, you still have the absolute right to fish on that property, but only if you get a license. Why have we allowed this to happen? Why have we allowed a perfectly decent article in the Constitution that says you have the right to do something? Why have we allowed that to become infringed, there's that word again, by a license requirement? Now, you may like to know that in the state of Jefferson, Article 1, Section 21 says that the legislature shall make no law preventing citizens from hunting and fishing on public or private waters or land. They shall make no law. They cannot require you to get a license. Regulation is fine as long as it's for the protection of a species. No one's going to want you to be able to go in and fish when it's going to destroy a spawning area. No one wants you to go shoot Bambi or a doe who's pregnant. That's reasonable regulation that doesn't remove your right. It just says, come on, let's have some common sense here so we can protect a species. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, a biggie. Property tax. Now, this one is going to cause some eyes to flutter and maybe some hearts to palpate with fear. California, obviously, has a property tax, and it says so. In Article 13, Section 1 of the California Constitution, it says all property is taxable and shall be assessed at the same percentage of fair market value. And we all know how hard we are working to protect Proposition 13 so that that 1% valuation is what they base the property tax on. And the state very soundly said no to a split role in which they evaluated commercial property different from residential property. We like having low property taxes. It's about the only tax in California that's under control, and boy, are they trying to get it back. There is all kinds of property tax. Anybody here pay the fire fee, which was just a property tax in disguise? State of Jefferson, what are we going to do with property taxes? Okay, hang on to your hats, folks. Here it is. Article 8, Section 2, Subsection E of the State of Jefferson Constitution. There will be no annual secured property taxes. They are not allowed to exist in the State of Jefferson because the people own their property outright in perpetuity. How can we say that we are going to protect property rights if we turn around and tax you on what you possess and own? It doesn't make sense. Now, of course, when we were writing the Constitution, this took a great deal of discussion. And, of course, the first thing that was said was, well, then how are we going to finance the state? Well, then we'll have to do it a different way, because if we are truly serious about being a property liberty state, we cannot charge you rent on your property. The difference will be made up with a consumption tax of some sort, a sales tax. And there will be a sales tax on the sale of property, but it will only happen once, and when you've paid it, that's it. The property is yours. So it's quite detailed, and there is a long explanation, and there are many items in the Constitution that go into the specifics of how that will work.
We do have a caller on the line. Mark, how are you?
Every day is a new adventure. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Janet. How are you?
I'm good.
Great job, by the way.
Thank you.
I wanted to just circle back to the Second Amendment just for 1 second, because what I want to express to people is that if all of the things we're saying today are true, why are we even having this conversation? If the legislature shall make no law, if rights are inalienable, if rights come from God, if government postdates rights, in other words, rights predate government, rights are human possessions given from God, not governments to alter, take, change, and so on. How did we get here? Why are we having this talk now? And the reason is because we didn't do anything about it when this started. And the Second Amendment is the biggest guarantor of that. And so the excuses that the sheriffs give, for example, I think it was Jimmy wanted to call in and say he talked to a state trooper in another state that said, and he asked him, are you afraid when people carry guns? And the guy said, heck no, I want everybody to carry. I was a cop. When I saw a gun, I wasn't afraid. I mean, guns are human rights. Self-defense is a human right. So, you know, the point is we did not protect the liberty that our God gave us, and the judgment that we're receiving right now as we live under a tyrannical government that dictates rights, and what government bestows, government can take away. And so it is very important to listen to Janet and understand what she's saying, that inalienable rights are just that. But if you fail to exercise them, then you failed to defend those rights. And I'll get off so you guys can get done with your show.
Thank you, brother. That was great stuff.
Thank you, Mark. What I see happening is that the people have not just been asleep. They've been in a coma. And they are now beginning to wake up and realize that we have constitutions, and they mean something. They aren't just words on a piece of paper, and they are not changeable as we change our moods. But the problem is they've been in a coma, and when they're waking up, they need to be retrained. They have to be taught how to eat again, how to walk again, how to think. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in the rehabilitation of our people, and we are just now beginning to do that. How many people a year ago knew that there was a California Constitution? And now we're talking about it. So you are absolutely right. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance, and we have not been vigilant. We have not been asleep. We've been in a coma. And there was a point at which I wasn't sure if we would actually get out of our coma, but maybe there's hope.
Well, do you think also, too, it's at the fault and behest of the education system?
By design.
By design.
Of course. The progressives have been working since at least 1913 to bring down our country. If nothing else, they are persistent and patient. And their patience and persistence is now showing in our education system in particular. I give you the 1619 Project, which is the most absolute stack of lies ever perpetrated on our education system. And when Trump brought in his 1776 project, it made beautiful sense. I've read it. It is a good place to begin with education. And what did old Joe do as soon as he became the country's administrator? He canceled the 1776 project because, too much truth there. We can't have that running around influencing people with what actually went on in our country's history. Let's look at education. Now, again, hang on to your hearts, folks. They're going to palpitate. California Constitution, Article 9, Sections 1 through 16. It is many pages long. It describes the entire education system and who does what and who owns what and what the university regents have to do and how it's all going to work together. And it is just an abomination. In State of Jefferson Constitution, education is discussed under Article 11, Sections 1 through 6. And in essence, it says that it will remain the inherent right of the parents of the State of Jefferson to determine and meet the needs of their children in matters concerning education. It's up to the parents. And, of course, the argument is, well, what if a parent doesn't want their kid to have an education? Well, that's going on now. And Sections 1 through 16 don't change the fact that some parents are irresponsible. But maybe if we gave parents and students a choice, maybe if we made the options attractive, we would get better buy-in. And if the parents don't cooperate, well, they're not cooperating now. So how can things be any worse? There's a lot more to it. I'm just giving a brief overview. But in Jefferson, we expect responsibility from our citizens. And that comes to the parents' responsibility to make sure that their children are cared for. It is not the responsibility of the village or the state or the federal government. It is the responsibility of the citizens to be informed and to take care of their duties, just like we were talking about with Mark. The price of liberty is constant, eternal vigilance, and our citizens in Jefferson will be expected to be informed and to be vigilant.
If you have friends that haven't heard this program, you know you can go to the archive of this program, because I think everyone needs to be hearing this. And you folks out there in Open Shasta, you folks out there who are fighting for the recall in Shasta County, if any of you are listening to this, share it with everyone you know. Back to you, my dear.
Let's talk about another one that requires a license. And for goodness sake, can someone please explain to me why I have to get permission from the state to get married? Why is it the business of the state or the county? It used to not be. That was terrible English. I apologize.
No one noticed.
Yeah, I did. It used to be that when you got married, you recorded it in your church records or in the family Bible, and it was accepted. And then suddenly you had to go down to the county courthouse and pay them money, and they gave you a slip that said, you now have permission to go to a minister or a judge and have a marriage ceremony performed. And then the minister or the judge takes that permission slip and files it with the county, and then you are legal. I hate to tell you this, folks, but that started, permission to get married started over biracial marriages. The government wanted to make sure that Caucasians were not marrying, at the time they called them Negroes, and I am not using a bad name, it's just a designation. They wanted to make sure that those two racial groups did not intermarry, and that's when they started having marriage licenses. And then it became a moneymaker, and it's just more control. And then they say, well, for income tax reasons, you have to show that you're married. And in Jefferson, you are married under contract, because that's all marriage is. It's a contract between two consenting adults. Now, notice I said two consenting adults. I did not specify gender, because a contract does not care about gender. If I buy a house from you and we've put together a contract, does it have to specify my gender? No, it's just a contract between two consenting adults. And then you say, well, people can just go wild. They can have two or three wives. Well, if you want to have a business with two or three partners, that's your business. It's not the business of the state. No, you can't marry a dog, because a dog is not a consenting adult. So marriage should be what it was originally intended to be, and that is a contract. There should be no interference by the state in any contract. And in fact, in the federal constitution, it specifically says that the federal government cannot interfere in a contract between two people. So again, a lot of controversy on this one, because I know a lot of you are not in favor of particular types of marriages. But I may not be in favor of particular types of contracts, but it's not my business. It's not my business to tell you with whom you can contract. Rights of parents and children. In California, there is absolutely no statement as to the rights of parents and their children. And in Jefferson, we included one, because to us it was very important. And over the last year, I think it has become extremely important. And I'll read you what's in Jefferson. Article 1, Section 24, and this is under the Declaration of Rights. Parents and guardians of minor children shall have the inherent right and complete authority to determine and meet the needs of their minor children. And that means their moral development, their education, their health care, etc. And in California, this is extremely important because that means that the state cannot require you to get your children vaccinated if it is against your choice. When we put this into the Constitution, we limited it to children because we figured adults are already covered under the right to life, liberty, and property. Your body is your property. But over the last year, I've changed my mind. I think that we should put into the Jefferson Constitution a statement that adults are also responsible for their own health care, and they cannot be forced to do any kind of treatment that the state demands. And this particularly includes vaccination. I don't care what your views on vaccination are. You can do whatever you wish, and I should be able to do whatever I wish, and the state should not mandate either that I have to take a vaccination or that I am prohibited from taking a vaccination. It's not the state's business. It's not the state's responsibility. Last one, most important, save the best to last, Second Amendment, guns. Now, we all know, it's right there in the Constitution, Amendment 2, a well-regulated militia. Now, what does that mean? Regulated. It means well-trained. And militia means a civilian group of people who are trained in the use of arms and protection of their republic. And it is necessary to the security of a free state. So, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And there's that infringed name again. So let's look at the California Constitution and see what it says about the right to keep and bear arms. Are you ready? That's it. Silence. It says nothing at all. California does not protect your right to keep and bear arms. However, in Article 3, Section 1, it does say that it follows the federal constitution. So I guess that they were just assuming that the federal constitution stated it explicitly enough and they didn't need to. However, in the state of Jefferson, we recognize that it needs to be stated explicitly, and it needs to be stated more explicitly than in the Second Amendment. So, Article 1, Section 11 of the state of Jefferson Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms, including unrestricted open and concealed carry. There will be no licensure, registration, taxation on arms or ammunition. And it does go on and it gives even more explicit, specific instructions on your rights under the Second Amendment. So there is absolutely nothing that you cannot do in the ownership of firearms and ammunition in the state of Jefferson. With the obvious exception, if you have given up your rights by violating the law and the state has seen necessary to put you in prison, then you do lose your right to keep and bear arms. However, there is a restoration of rights for convicted felons. After you have served your prison sentence, you are no longer on probation or parole, you may petition the court to receive back your rights to bear arms and to vote. And then the court can decide if you truly have been rehabilitated, but you can, there are second chances in the state of Jefferson. This is just a brief overview of what the state of Jefferson Constitution does. It gives you the right to work. Jefferson will be a right to work state. There is a constitutional compliance committee that makes sure that those officials and appointees who take an oath of office are held accountable to that oath of office. There is no such thing right now in California. There is testing as a qualification to hold office. We will have voter ID. The judiciary will not be required to be a member of the bar. There are lots of things that we are trying to correct that we see wrong in both the California and the federal constitutions.
I think what we'll do, Janet, if it's okay with you, we'd like you to come back the first Sunday in March that we're on the 7th, if you'd like to. We'd love to have you come back and maybe expound on those last 7 points. Those are great. They're sort of a summary of where you go with the whole Constitution. Anyway, my dear, thank you so much for all the hard work you do, all the hard work you've done. And, folks, again, if you have the opportunity, well, make the opportunity to get this program out to everybody. This is very important stuff. Next week's a biggie. There'll be a combo show between the State of Jefferson and Sovereign Minds. Don't miss it. We'll be talking about it during the week. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done. Thank you, Janet.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
Not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.